The streets of the nation's capital were clogged last night with limousines and partygoers in gowns and tuxes celebrating President Bush's second inauguration. The president and first lady whisked through 10 balls in what may have been record time, but the thousands who gathered to see them were grateful for a brief glimpse of the first couple dancing. NPR's Lynn Neary checked out the scene and has this report.
If your imagination has been fed by descriptions of romantic balls in Russian novels, then the inaugural balls are bound to disappoint. Oh, certainly there were women dressed in beautiful gowns of satin and crepe, and men in black ties and tuxedos. But somehow, the cavernous Washington Convention Center, site of six of last night's balls, never quite made that magical transformation into a ballroom. The dance floors were small, but most people just milled about anyway. And, well, to be honest, the food wasn't exactly inspired.
Chicken, and we have some penne pasta and some cheese ravioli, and lots of cheeses.
But really, all that is beside the point, because the people who pay to attend these balls are there for one reason only. They want to see the president. A lot of these people helped elect George W. Bush, a fact the president acknowledged when he addressed the crowd at the Patriot Bowl.
So it wasn't all that long ago that we were taking bus trip after bus trip. Across the beautiful and great state of Ohio.
One of the biggest events of the evening was the Texas-Wyoming Ball. Some 11,000 people were expected to attend the party in honor of the home states of the president and vice president. Mr. Cheney was the first to arrive, and he set the fast pace of the evening, spending only a few minutes at the home state ball.
Lynn and I wish we could stay here all evening, but we have a few more events to go to. And we've got a bet with the president that we're going to beat him tonight.
The crowd at the Texas-Wyoming Ball was full of exuberant partisans. Sue Brennan of Midland, Texas, stood out in a spangled dress of red, white, and blue stars and stripes.
I found a picture of it in a magazine and had a shop in Midland order it for me.
It's even more than just red, white, and blue. It's really a dress that's the flag.
It is. It really is.
Are you getting a lot of attention for that dress?
Yes, I am.
Are people saluting you?
No, everybody just gives me a hug.
Of course, not everyone was from Texas or Wyoming. A few blue staters, like Massachusetts State Representative Paul Frost, also snuck in.
I like to say that being a Republican in Massachusetts, especially being an elected official in Massachusetts, being a Republican, it's like being like in the Marines. You know, the few, the proud, the brave, the Republicans of Massachusetts. So we're still there fighting the good fight.
But it was the Texans who got the biggest greeting from the president.
Thank you all for coming. This looks like it might be the Texas Ball. Along with Wyoming.
After a brief speech that reiterated the theme of freedom laid out in his inaugural address, the president turned to the important business of the night.
And now, right here amongst our fellow Texans and some good folks from Wyoming, it is my honor to ask the First Lady for an inaugural dance.
The president stayed at the ball for about 5 minutes, and most people saw the first couple dancing through a sea of digital cameras held up to capture the moment. But the brevity of the appearance didn't disappoint diehard fans like Mary and Bob Rutherford of Cheyenne, Wyoming.
We were just so happy to see him.
Yeah.
And then Vice President Cheney, that's enough. That's
it was
all
awesome.
It takes.
Awesome.
Very proud of the job that they've done.
What
did the president
say? Is that a Wyoming sound or what?
That's what we do.
The president ended his inaugural evening at the Commander-in-Chief Ball at the National Building Museum. This event, honoring the men and women of the armed forces, seemed the most personal for the president.
I see some familiar faces. I see one of my friends who I visited at the military hospital. I hope you're doing well. It's a good sign you're here at the inaugural ball. Thanks for coming, brother. Many of you, sir, far away from home. And this country owes a debt of gratitude to your families for standing by your side. So tonight we honor not only the men and women who wear the uniforms, but your loved ones as well.
The The president got a big reaction when he paid the crowd a high compliment.
This is our last ball. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but it looks like to me we saved the best for last.
The president then asked two members of the military to join him and the First Lady in a dance, and again, he got a big cheer from the crowd. The balls were scheduled to go on till 1 in the morning, but the president and Mrs. Bush had finished their sweep of the parties before 10 o'clock and probably were fast asleep by the time the last dance had ended. Lynn Neary, NPR News, Washington.
From NPR News, this is Morning Edition. Our technical director is Kevin Langley. Audio engineers include Stacey Abbott, Renee Pringle, Dennis Nielsen, and Arthur Halliday-Laurent. Our executive producer is Ellen McDonald. Morning Edition's theme music was written by B.J. Lederman and arranged by Jim Pugh. I'm Renee Montagne.